hallelujah. Say this with me. Father, we thank you that one day we will walk on the streets of gold. We will praise you in that heavenly environment of heaven itself. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you are a supernatural God. You do supernatural things. While we are here on earth, you do the miraculous in our lives. We receive today the miraculous power of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory, you can be seated. Praise the Lord God Almighty. It's wonderful to know that God is great. He is good. He's miraculous. He wants to do miraculous things in every area of life. If that doesn't stir you up, you need stirring up. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. We've been talking about some awesome, some wonderful things about the supernatural aspects of God and the keys of the kingdom of God and the things about the kingdom. I want to share with you some things this morning for a few minutes concerning the kingdom and all that God is doing. I guess the thread that I want us to look at today is to the whole concept of, even though we live in this natural world, we do things in the natural so often, and our everyday life, natural life, doesn't often remind us of the supernatural aspects of God, but God is in everything. God is doing things in our lives. And I read a book this week that I'm going to introduce in a couple of minutes, but a few ideas I got from that this week. Well, let me read a scripture to you, first of all, from Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to start reading at verse 8. The book that I'm going to mention, it was based on Isaiah chapter 9. And just to give you a little bit of background about this particular scripture, God was bringing the Assyrian army against the nation of Israel, and Israel was in a pretty haughty place. Israel was in a place where they figured they could handle themselves quite well. And they were in a place where they didn't realize their desperate need for God, although the land was full of altars to other gods, and that was one of the first commandments that God told the nation of Israel, not to worship any other god besides him. And the land was polluted with the altars, worshiping other gods, and God was bringing judgment against the nation of Israel at this particular time. So it starts in verse 8, "The Lord sent a word against Jacob, and it has fallen on Israel. All the people will know, Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, who say in pride and arrogance." This is a key now. I want you to remember that what they're going to say now, they've said in pride and arrogance, "The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will replace them with cedars." So they were saying, although they had an attack from the enemy, and scripture bears out that it was actually a warning from God to the nation of Israel to turn around and repent. Come back, repent. That's actually what this whole army invasion was all about. And the nation of Israel didn't take it as a warning, but they were proudful, they were haughty, and they said, even though the sycamore tree is destroyed, we're going to replace it with something better, the cedars. Even though the bricks are falling down, we're going to replace them with something better, hewed stone. Stone taken out of a quarry and made the shape stronger and so forth. They said, we're going to build it better than before. Now, the thing that's disturbing about this is that they automatically thought that they were able to rise up against an enemy, and they never give any consideration to the fact that they needed to repent. They took for granted that they could stand on their own and they didn't need God. You know, much of Israel is like that today. They are so confident in their military. They are so confident in what they can do that for the most part, Israel is a secular society, a secular nation. And so they're really standing against God in many ways, although God's hand is still on the nation of Israel, and he's going to bring them to their completion. But back in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 8 and 9 and 10, this speaks to us about how the children of Israel failed to take the warning that the enemy was about to destroy them. One commentary on that writes, "We were but weak when the enemy overcame us, but we will make ourselves so strong that we will neither care for our enemies, nor will we fear God, nor will we fear God's threatenings. They're saying we're not going to care about our enemies, nor are we going to fear God's threatenings. According to this commentator, he actually seemed to think that they knew that this was a threat from God to shape up, or something worse is going to happen. In pride and arrogance of heart, we will replace the cottages and with palaces, says another theologian concerning this particular verse. This verse actually speaks to me also about in Malachi chapter 1, 4, it says, even though Edom has said we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may rebuild, but I will throw down. And so when God brings things to try to get our attention, we have to be careful. We can never get so haughty that automatically think we don't have anything to repent about. We can never get to the place where, you know, with the gospel, even where we teach that everything is free in one sense for us to enter into the kingdom of God, but we also have to remember that it's of great price. It's free in the aspect that we are free to give our lives to the Lord, that He might do everything that He wants with us. But yet it costs a tremendous amount. It costs heaven all His glory when Jesus Christ had to come down to earth. Now, I want us to look at this particular book, The Harbinger, written by Pastor and Rabbi Jonathan Chan. The Harbinger, it's a book that was written concerning Isaiah chapter 9, verse 10, as it relates to 9/11 and Ground Zero and what's happening in the United States. Now, the book itself is a fiction, but the facts in it are correct. And there's many facts in it about what happened in Isaiah 9:10 and what happened with September 11 that joins the two together. And, you know, I encourage you to get the book and read it. I believe it'll really help you to have an understanding of how God is interwoven into societies such as the United States, such as Israel, such as Canada, and also in our lives. That every single part of our lives, there's an element of God weaving His work in our lives and in our nations. We want to be aware when God moves, when God tries to get our attention, and whenever something happens in our lives, whether it happens in our nation or whether it happens into us personally, don't automatically suggest that this is just the devil trying to get me off track. Without taking a look at ourselves and say, Lord, do I need to repent? What areas are not right with You? Now, I'm not suggesting that when a bad thing comes into our lives that it's God teaching us something, but I am suggesting this. When something happens, we need to ask ourselves. Don't automatically think we're okay. Examine ourselves, as the Apostle Paul said. Test ourselves, see if we're in the faith. See if we're doing things according to Kingdom of God principles. Otherwise, we'll miss the warnings of God. We'll miss God trying to get us to a place where we will repent and come back to Him. Now, in this book, actually what I found when I was looking a bit on the internet about this particular book, there was some things about it that many people seem to have known, actually, but it seems that God has used this man to put it in print in such a way that it seems to have gone to, all over the United States and many parts of the world as well, that people really seem to be taking notice of this scripture now, that God is using this rabbi in order to bring it to the attention of the world. And this rabbi is a Christian. He's a Messianic Jew, and he has one of the largest congregations of Messianic Jews, certainly in New York City, if not the nation. And so God has given some insight into this particular verse. And in the book, as I say, it is a fiction, but the facts in it are correct. And it's pretty easy to look up the facts, actually, with the information that's on today. But I'm just going to mention a couple of things. First, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 10, again, it says, the bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stone. Now, apparently back in the days of Israel, when this word went forth, that the part of the buildings fell because of the attack that came from the enemy, because they were just made with mud and so forth, and they went down. And then they went and they built a better wall and so forth, and they took stones out of a quarry, and they actually did it. And what happened apparently now, comparing this to 9/11, when this scripture was actually quoted many times concerning 9/11. But what they actually did was when the buildings came down, when the bricks came down, they actually went out and they took a big stone out of a two-ton or more stone, and they took it and they put it in the place of ground zero, and they made a monument of it out of it. Call it, I believe it was the Stone of Hope. And they, if you follow through what they did, it actually speaks to us of Isaiah 9:10. And now it also says there concerning that this sycamore will be crashed down, but we will replace it with cedars. At ground zero, where the towers came down, there was a church there on the perimeter of ground zero called St. Paul's Cathedral. It's been there, I believe it's since 1777. I mean, it's an old building. In the front of that church was a large sycamore tree. In that church, it's noted that when George Washington was inaugurated as president and the nation was formed, that he actually went to that church and those with him to pray. And what they did is they made a covenant or a vow before God that they would follow, the nation would follow God. They spoke about what would happen if the nation ever turned from God. The words that are used is actually that God would smile on them from heaven. If they turned away from God, then that smile would be removed. And so we could say that the blessing of God would be upon them. If they turned away from God, the blessing of God would be removed. When the towers fell down, there was a huge beam that came down from one of the towers and actually struck that sycamore tree and destroyed it. All the debris that came down destroyed many of the buildings all around it. And there was cracks in the foundations of some. There was, you know, just total destruction. But not even a glass pane of that church was broken. It was amazing. It was a miraculous thing. They say when that tree came down, it was so huge and so big that the roots actually protected the church. But the sycamore tree came down. It was fallen. This is just the stump of the sycamore tree that's left. It's all that's left after the fall of the towers came down and it was destroyed. They cut it off and they kind of made a monument out of this particular tree. But you'll notice now that within Isaiah 9:10, it says that though the sycamore tree has fallen down, that it will be replaced with cedars. With a cedar, and the cedar is a much better wood for building things and so forth. So what they were saying back in Isaiah 9:10 is actually that we will build it better than what it was before. And so when the towers were coming down, they're actually declaring, and there's many declarations that have been made concerning this, that they would build something even better. They would rebuild. When they took the sycamore tree away, they took a cedar tree and planted it in its place. Exactly according to Isaiah 9:10. Now, I'm just kind of skimming just a few things over this. If you read this book, you'll find a whole lot more in it that will speak to us about God's hand in this situation. Now, the author in his study says that when God begins to remove his hedge from a nation, there'll be warning signs that will come. There'll be signs of destruction that will come in order to get the people's attention, to give them an opportunity to repent, because this is God's design and this is God's desire that his people repent. He doesn't want to bring judgment. He wants people to turn around and come back to him. And yet, so many times when it comes to our lives, we always look to a bad thing every single time that happens to us as from the devil and never God getting our attention. You know, if a nation is so oblivious to their need, something desperate has to happen for them to cry out to God before people will realize that we need God. A nation needs God. Certainly in dealing with nations, God has done this many, many times. If you read the Old Testament and you see the kingdom of Israel, there will be many times that God will actually bring in a destructive action in order to get their attention. And many times it got their attention. Just read through the book of Judges and you'll see that over and over again. The book of Judges is a good one because the sequences are fairly short and you go through it, that God calls them back. They are blessed of God for a while. Then they start falling away from God. God brings judgment. They repent. They come back. And it goes over and over and over again. And the people when they are following God, they are blessed. Now listen to this. On September 12th, 2001, day after 9/11, Senator Majority Leader Tom Daskal, on a joint resolution of condemnation of the attacks, addressed the world as a representative and leader of America. He said these words, "I know there is only the smallest measure of inspiration that can be taken from this devastation, but there is a passage in the Bible from Isaiah that I think speaks to all of us at such a time as this. The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with dressed stone. The fig tree or the sycamore have been felled, but we will replace them with cedars. That is what we will do. We will rebuild and we will recover. The people of America will stand strong because the people of America have always stood together. And those of us privileged to serve this great nation will stand with you." So the senator was quoting a scripture that was a scripture of judgment against Israel. He was actually prophesying the very words that were spoken by Isaiah the prophet over America. The words that were spoken by Isaiah the prophet were spoken over Israel, but now this senator was prophesying the exact same words over the United States. And when Isaiah prophesied these words over Israel, he was prophesying to them to bring them back from judgment, for them to repent. But Israel took it in a haughty spirit and said, "No, although the sycamore trees are crashed down, we will build better ones. We will plant better ones. We will replace them with cedars. Although the bricks have fallen, we will replace it with hewn stone." And the leaders in America have done the exact same thing. They have said the same words, and I'm sure this senator never even realized that the Bible passage that he was quoting was a passage of judgment over a nation. But before God does anything, he brings prophetic words forward in order to speak to a nation to try to get them to repent. You might say, well, this senator is not even a Christian. How could he prophesy something like that? Well, think about this for a moment. When Jesus went to the cross, just before he went to the cross, there was a high priest. He wasn't a Christian. And he prophesied that one man should die for the whole nation. Actually, the scripture actually says that. That he did not know what he was saying, but he prophesied that one man would die for the whole nation. So here was a man who didn't really know God, but yet he prophesied anyway. And so this leader here as well did the same thing. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that America is cursed and doomed, but I am saying this. God is speaking to them to repent. Now, and we can get haughty and say, oh, that's America, that's south of the border. Well, anything that's happened in the United States, all you got to do is kind of divide it by 10, and you'll see basically many times the same thing. When I speak about the depravity of man and some of the things that we've allowed to take place in the nation of Canada, it's not much that much different from the United States.